Chapter 11. 15:15 GMT. Is this thing on, Marina? It's kind of hard to see under these dumb emergency lights. Also, I can't see you too well through the little window of the storm shelter. I'm live, okay? Let's do this. So, calling Mission Control at Houston, and the soup at Moscow, and the world, I guess. This is Al Miriach. Jim Boyd here, and I hope you can see me. Yeah, the big lunk shivering and waving. Our handler at soup, and we're very grateful to Josef and the rest for staying at their own posts, encouraged us to make this broadcast. He said that a lot of you, around the world, were listening in to us, even while you are undergoing your own trials. We do appreciate this very much, being so far away from home. How far? Far enough for it to take minutes, even at light speed, for my message to cross space and reach you. Let me show you the layout here. So this is our HAB module, a standard Jones Inc. shelter module, which is keeping us alive as we coast through our 8-month trajectory back home from Mars to Earth. And a darn good job it's doing, I may say. Even with the sun going out on us. Or whatever the hell. But as you can imagine, we aren't keeping too warm in here. So that's why we have had to retreat, mostly, to this chicken coop in the middle of the floor, that we call the storm shelter. See it over my shoulder? Its main design function is so we can ride out a radiation storm. Ha! Ironically, the source of which would be the sun, even if our mag shield went down. So our ship is still functioning, in the sense of keeping us alive. We are already working on a checklist to bring her back to life, if. In the meantime, our backup system should keep us safe. We have onboard batteries. They will last for a nominal 8 hours of normal functioning, and maybe 12. After that, we will have to retreat into the storm shelter, which will keep us alive for a further 12 hours. In fact, we decided to retreat into the shelter now, as much as possible, to save as much juice as we can. Recovery, when it comes, will take some time. The first priority will be to bring the solar panels themselves back online. Then we will begin to reboot our life support systems. Then we'll think about other priorities. All of which, I know you understand, is dependent on, well, the sun coming back. Hard to think of a plan B if it doesn't, isn't it? For you, too. Well, we will cross that bridge when we come to it. You might ask why I'm out here shivering my skinny butt off at all, instead of being tucked up cozy in the storm shelter. Well, like everybody else, we're still trying to figure stuff out about this situation. And on top of all the problems of dark and cold that we share with all of you, this incident has given us an extra glitch. When the sun went away, we quickly found that we were drifting off course. Just a little, but enough for our very sensitive navigation suite to pick it up almost immediately. Well, that baffled us for a while, and even our mission controllers. But it's obvious if you think about it. Out here in the dark, coasting, we in the Al Miriach are totally dependent on the sun for our heating, and also for our trajectory. So we kicked off from Mars, but we don't blast our rockets all the way home. Instead, very soon after we were away from Mars orbit, we shut down the engines and just coast on our own orbit around the sun, not following a near circle like Mars or Earth, but an ellipse, a curve that just touches Mars's orbit at the start and will just touch Earth's when we get there. And then we will break into Earth orbit. But now the sun has gone. We lost not just its light, but its gravity field too. So we aren't in orbit anymore. We're drifting off course, you see. Just a little so far. And so, by the way, is Earth. All the planets, which are also in orbit around the sun, or were. Which is going to cause problems for us all, long term. All humanity. But anyhow, if this keeps up, even for just a day, we will miss our target, the Earth. The longer it lasts, the wider the miss. Now, I'm sure our buddies in the space business will already be working out plans to bring us home whatever happens. But, of course, we would much rather not put that to the test. We're working on it too. And the one thing we do need to do is to keep tracking our position. We have inertial guidance systems, all internal, and star sighting trackers. We use the stars to fix our position, just as the first ocean sailors on Earth once did. But we also sight on the sun, and that's one extra fix we need. And one we've lost, of course, which has thrown the automatics somewhat. So we're coming out here to make manual sightings of the stars and planets, and the sun when it returns. And that's why I'm out here, just for now. I should sign off, do my chores, and get back in that tin can with my buddies. But I want to emphasize again that we really have been touched by the interest you down there are showing in us up here. In the middle of your own problems. Why, I'm told our little adventure has attracted the highest number of visitors to a space broadcast since Jeff Krauss and Kawi Paku crashed at Imbrium on the moon back in 29, as some of you will remember. You know, some good came out of that disaster. All the space agencies worked together to try to help Krauss and Paku, and out of that came long-lasting cooperation in space like never before. For instance, in the form of the NHSA, the Combined Northern Hemisphere Space Agency, which coordinates the space projects of America, Russia, and a slew of other countries, though not China, as my fiancé Xi would remind me. Anyhow, unlike poor Jeff and Kawi, we can still get through this, all of us. Like all of you, Soup, Houston, Planet Earth. This is Jim Boyd on the Almirik, signing out. Godspeed to us all.